And I was confused. The idea of it's not confusing myself, my identity is in Christ. And I have chosen, you know, with the help of the Lord, this is going to be my partner for life. And so
have patience, you know. Yes. Yeah. How would you like to be forgiven? Mm-hmm. Are you, you know, we're so quick to anger sometimes that we don't look at the other's perspective on things.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, but then when it comes to us, like, why are you mad at me? I didn't mean it like that, you know?
Yeah.
But when it's them, it's easier just to point the finger.
Thank you so much for joining us on another episode of the LCI Podcast. We are so thrilled today. We have our partners in crime. No, I'm kidding. We have our partners, our spouses with us, Justin and I. Ooh. Woohoo! Have Michaela and Steven here. And you would think, you know, why on earth, you know, they don't want to be here. Why would they be here? We asked them to. Yeah. We asked them. We pleaded. We
pleaded
begged.
And begged. We crawled on our hands
we
and
did.
Knees.
Yes. And yes. so we're so thankful that you could be here today. And the whole reason and purpose is we'd like to talk about marriage and relationships for just a little while today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Big subject.
Big subject.
Could say a lot. So we'll have to be careful.
We only have a little bit of time.
We only have a little bit of time, not because of, you know, other things.
Yeah.
But just let's start. So, Justin, Michaela, how long have you guys been married?
Well, we were calculating. It was coming on 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're working on 12 years.
Okay.
12 years in October.
12 years in October.
In October.
10, 12, 13. I missed it. Should have been 11, 12, 13, but whatever. We had to do it in that month.
It was a weird day that week, so.
It was a weird day that week.
Would have been cool.
So we have been married
23.
I was just making sure he knew. 23. 23 and a half years. In September, we'll be 24.
Mm-hmm. So there's like a 10-year gap.
There is, yeah. So I think this is good. It'll be a couple of different perspectives. Mm-hmm. Our kids are junior high, just graduated high school, and then we've got going into elementary school, not yet, but almost.
Four years, last year preschool. Pre-K this year.
Wow. Yeah, and so we really don't have representation for a brand new married couple here today, but I think
we've all been there. We can
attest, yeah, we've been there. I think that's
Long
time ago, yeah. We were just babies when we got married. That's what it is. Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure.
We were just babies thinking about babies, probably. When you first get married, that's like on your mind.
We weren't.
For some people.
Can you believe that? Like, I wasn't. We were like, no kids.
No?
Not for a while.
Well,
I was only 20. I just turned 20.
You weren't. He was.
No.
You were?
No.
This is new.
That's 23. When we got Mocha.
Oh, Mocha, our dog.
There you go. That's what we did, too.
Yeah, we got a dog.
We waited a year, though.
Oh, you
to
did?
Get a dog.
Okay.
We did.
Yeah.
Apartment life.
Yeah.
You
know? Apartment.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was.
Apartment life.
Yeah.
Hashtag apartment life.
Hashtag apartment life.
Yeah. We got our dog, and she chose him, and that was just all there was to it. And so then we tried to get another dog because I wanted kids, and he didn't. And then he wanted kids and I didn't. So we ended up getting another dog. And then we decided we were going to have puppies. Yeah, it was great.
Well, now we're at the point where after this dog, I think we're done with dogs for a bit.
Are you?
Yeah, honestly.
Well, yeah, we'd had a house remodel because of your dog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that was a different dog. That was a dog we no longer had.
Oh. I'm confused with all the
dogs. It wasn't taken out, but we gave it away. I just want to clarify.
It could run more.
There was a lot of angriness in that situation, but it wasn't towards the dog.
Hey, we made it through.
Yeah, you know what? And while we're on the subject, so how did that work, like, with the two of you? What kind of stress and strain? I mean, so it's a situation where you're not home, and your dog causes destruction mm-hmm. in such a large monetary way, you're having to replace, repair. Like, mm-hmm. do you feel resentment toward each other at all during
Well, we're on vacation mm-hmm. and halfway through it, and we get a FaceTime. Our new puppy Lab, was upstairs in our bathroom and chewed the line between the toilet and the wall and flooded our house. Kitchen was destroyed. Cabinets were falling over.
And our poor dog sitter had to walk into it.
Uh-huh.
And so we got a FaceTime from the dad, and we're like, oh, no, what's happening? And I was like, well, if something was wrong with her, they wouldn't FaceTime me, so it definitely has to do with the house. And I thought maybe the house caught on fire. So we answered, and he's like, don't freak out, but I'm going to turn the camera around.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy, I'm already freaking out.
Famous
and he turned it around, and the whole ceiling was caved in our kitchen. and the water pouring out.
Because the bathroom was above.
At that point, right, it wasn't like pouring, I guess. It was like dripping. But yeah, everything
was the damage was gone. And I think it was a testament to where our marriage was at the point, because I mean, there might have been a lot of frustration in the moment of the situation, but never, I don't think it was ever towards each other. We kind of gathered together. There really wasn't anything we could do. We were in Florida, I was already having a miserable trip because it was July in Florida.
Oh.
And it was humid, and there was more bugs out there than there are here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if I ever want to open a different branch for my pest control company, I'll go to Florida.
Definitely have the business.
Yeah. But I think it was a testament to where we were at in the moment.
And we had been married for a while.
We had been married for a bit. I don't know exactly how long. Did we have kids yet?
No, it was like
before
6 years.
We had kids.
I think it was like 6-7 years of marriage.
Yeah, maybe that's why we were just so strong together. Yes. But it was good because I think we played off of each other really well, and
truthfully, we got a new kitchen out of it.
Worked out. God had His hand on it.
You know, we didn't have our house from July till Thanksgiving.
Wow.
So we lived with His grandparents, which that was nice because we got to see them and their marriage and like. I don't know. It was a good time to get close to them.
Yeah.
And I actually think it kind of made us closer together, seeing that strong relationship that they had. So.
And I think going through things together, it's kind of like anything. A trial and the burning makes you stronger. You're in the oven. You've been cooked to Arizona heat. And you come out stronger than ever. And so for the most part, I think if you survive through devastating times in your marriage, and you really hunker down and join together, there's a benefit that comes from it, a strength in one another to know that each other are there. And I think in trials like that, it really shows where your relationship is at. And it really shows how strong it is in the moment. Because I think maybe you can know someone and love someone and be with someone for so long and always have a perfect life and never have any devastation, never a flat tire in your life. And then something happens and you're like, wait a minute, maybe our relationship wasn't as strong as I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't put as much effort into it as we thought we should. Luckily, we had in the moment. It was really good for us. But I think situations like that definitely shine a bright light on where you're at in your relationship.
Right. Well, and you bring up a good point, too, because we did a survey prior to this podcast. We've had lots of information coming in on what people struggle with in their relationships and their marriages, what they love about it, what they hate about it.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a strong word. But I think what you're speaking to right now, what I'm gathering is when you're a young married, when it's been within the first few years of your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Some people aren't married yet and you've been in a long-standing relationship. You need to be working on it. Even if you feel like everything is going well, it has to be constant work.
Yeah.
I think for Stephen and I can only speak for myself. My husband is here. When he's not here, I speak for him. Poor guy.
That's even why when we I had am to be around here sometimes. Today.
Even when we
could have totally had the podcast just Miranda and I talking about
it. Just talk about you the whole time.
Talk about each other.
No, but I think we came into a scenario a few years into marriage where we were both just so, I was so consumed with what I was doing in the church. Mm. I was very, very busy all of the time. And at that time in our lives, he wasn't involved in the music department, and I was running a music department, and then he was running a youth department. And it just, it became life. And it wasn't until storms came that for me I was like, oh, I haven't been working on this for years. I just assumed because we had such a great, we dated all through high school, we had so much fun, we were best friends, it was just easy.
How long did you all date before you got married?
About 6 years.
Five years,
yeah, because it was all of high school and some of college.
Okay,
so 6 years.
So you grew that base. We were very short. We had a very short dating.
How short? What's short to you?
I don't know.
From dating till marriage was a year.
A year. Okay.
Yeah.
When you know.
And I already know. I tell people it was. I locked her in. You know, she came to visit Life Church for the first time on a Wednesday night. Comes in, while church is going. By the way, she was late. Just to point that out. And she walked in, and I was singing. up on stage, and she locked eyes with me, and it was drool instant, and it was
from
all
you or her.
Her. Yeah, but the funny thing is, I saw, or she saw me, actually. No, we both saw each other at a youth thing beforehand over in Scottsdale, and Life Church was hosting the worship of it, and I was up there with
a bright suit.
In a bright suit singing.
Metallic.
So both times she saw me, the first time I was singing. So it was my voice or it was my looks, I don't know. But it locked her, and I had her ever since. But it was very short. The very short relationship, but like you, when you know, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I remember when Pastor sat me down and at Starbucks, Pastor Buffin, and he almost made me second guess it. I was more second guessing it when I left, and then I was like, no, I really do love her. But it was good that they did that, because it's like, I feel like it, when you half know someone and you jump into it too soon, maybe it's too soon, but luckily, you know, I knew her and everything like that. But I think for us, the beginning of our marriage, one of the hardest things, and you can add if you want, but for me, one of the hardest things is we weren't as busy. I mean, we were youth pastoring. Actually, we were youth pastoring. Pastor put us in positions before we got married, while we were dating together, which was weird. But I think it just locked us in. It's like, now you're in ministry, you have to get married. But it was very short. And then, you know, we were in ministry there, but we had a lot of time on our hands. No kids, mm-hmm. you know, no pet to deal with, no maintenance in a 500 square foot house. Like, it was very lots of time. So we had a lot of time with each other. And it was learning each other. Mm-hmm. I think that was the hardest part, getting to know someone and instantly. Like, now you're in the learning curve.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot different now. I think it's now that we know each other and we've had a lot of time with each other, now we have so many areas that we're involved in. My point of view is prioritizing time now. Now it's like, now we just need to take time on date nights. Date nights don't happen near as much as they used to anymore.
Yeah,
even
have
though
to actual
schedule.
So
that's our problem now. But it's a lot different when we were first married. Yeah. I mean, we had so much time with each other. It was learning each other.
Yeah.
Learning who does dishes and who does laundry.
Yeah, you just open.
Yeah. I thought I'd just throw that in there. But what
those commitments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But would you agree with me?
I think it goes from having all this time to now, like, okay, how do I manage my time to work on a relationship? Because like you say, you get busy with your ministries and all that stuff. Now, how do I prioritize things?
Right.
Because you can think everything's good because you're not talking. And then something explodes. And you're like, wait, I thought we were good. What just happened? But you haven't been talking. And now it's starting,
like,
to come out.
It's like anything, maintenance on a car. Mm-hmm. If you're not doing it, if you're not changing oil,
that's
eventually
exactly
your
engine's
going to break.
I love that.
And
yeah.
So, for sure.
Yeah, well, and I think for newlyweds, man, we were so young. I think back, and I know we're old. I get that. But I just, like, why
Speak
did our
for
parents?
Yourself. We're not old.
Why did our parents allow that, you know?
How old were you?
I had just turned 20.
Okay. That's how old I was.
So. I didn't know. I refused to be married as a teenager. We were going to get married when I was 18.
Okay.
I don't know if our parents even know that. We had made these plans. And then we both were like, yeah, that's not going to happen. That's too soon. So we waited. But what do you think was the most difficult part for us that first couple of years moving out of our parents' homes into an apartment together? So it's a total shift.
Well, it was a complete culture shock of...
That's a good way to put it.
I've relied on my parents and lived in my parents' house for 21 years, and now mom and dad aren't there, and I've got this lady in the house that... Oh, okay, so we live together.
Yeah. Why are you in my bed? I mean, it's weird.
Yeah, it was, right? It was kind of just a culture shock of realization that life is changing, and the whole time of 5.5 years of dating, you don't really get to know somebody even when you're dating them until you live with them.
Right.
And she gave me permission to tell this story. So we were young married, and I remember we were talking and we were doing our thing, and she tells me that she had been hurt. And I'm like,
my feelings
her feelings were hurt.
Like, for a while. Yeah.
What? And she proceeded to tell me that when we would go to bed, I would roll over and turn away from her. And she was thinking she had done something wrong, uh-huh. and that I was mad at her.
Right. Because he did it every night.
Every night. I just,
and I was like, we shouldn't let the sun go down upon our wrath.
So
that's funny.
I'm like, no, I'm just going to sleep.
Yeah.
And she had had a conversation with her mom about it.
I blew it out of control.
But just that whole learning process of my life is now, even though I lived with my parents, I mean, I was self-sufficient, but now living with somebody in my life isn't about me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's big.
It's not about necessarily what I want to do, but what do we want to do? And I was thinking about it driving over here. I still, to this day, don't understand how these guys or why they did it, but there was two guys that I had gone to high school with that were a year or two ahead of me, and they'd gotten married. Well, we were at the gym playing basketball one night. They're both married guys, and they're talking about having a sleepover with each other. And I'm like, you're married. Don't you go home to your wife? And that's what I was thinking. And it, to this day, I don't understand why they did that. I mean, they were friends.
I hope they listen to this.
They'll never
hear this. Maybe they'll answer your question.
But the idea of you're... life is not about you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is about being with your spouse and making sure that they are taken care of. And that was kind of, it was a culture shock. It was.
And we're not talking like a men's camping trip or anything like that. Like we're
no, they were talking about, hey, we play basketball. We're going to go to his house and play video games all night. I'm like, okay, whatever. If I was married, I'd be going home to my wife. But to each their own, I guess. But it's still, to me, it was like, I don't want a relationship that it revolves about me and my wants, because there's not me in this relationship. It's us in this relationship.
Right.
And that was something that 23 years later, I still at times have to learn and think about, is it's not necessarily what I want. It's what we want.
And that's hard. I mean, that's hard for me. I mean, it's not easy feeling like I need to be independent. I need to be able to handle things. And I'm a boss woman, you know, like I'm going to handle it. I am we,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's still hard. 23 years into it, it's still hard. But it was definitely hard the first few years because I was so, and I think a lot of girls, women, you know, maybe come into relationships like this. I don't want to lose myself. You know, I'll have a relationship, it's fine, but I don't want to lose myself. And I was confused with the idea of, it's not confusing myself. My identity is in Christ. And I have chosen, you know, with the help of the Lord, this is going to be my partner for life. And so I've chosen that by searching my own soul. I don't believe in soul partners as in S-O-L-E, like this is my soul mate. I know, I don't believe in that. But I do believe when I've searched my soul and I choose who my partner is and he's searched his soul and he's chosen me for life, we will be partners. Mm-hmm. And with all of that, it just started kind of making sense, I think, maybe about year 5, 6. I mean, it was a good ways into it that my life is not have to be all about, all the attention has to be me or all the attention has to be him. It's us. It's so hard to wrap your mind around that change.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Going from newlywed to kind of newlywed,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then, you know, you're good 10 years in, right? 12 years in. And I think now it's okay. So there's always the I was just listening to this really cool podcast the other day, and she was talking about the learning space. So it's the space between knowing something and not knowing something. Okay, so we don't know how to be married, and so we get married, and then there's this learning space to, okay, now I kind of know how.
Mm.
Pretty much all of our marriage is going to be in the learning space. There's going to be what emotions in the learning space. Frustration,
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, vulnerabilities, irritations. There's going to be, you know, excitement, but also, man, like
hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yes, all of that. And when you jump off the bandwagon because you can't handle the learning space, you are stripping yourself of the ability to conquer into the no. And so on a smaller spectrum, it can be, I didn't know how to respect a man in my life as my husband. And then, you know, I learned that. And I learned that because he was learning to respect me. You know, those types of things. Sure. I don't know. What's the difference between being angry with your partner now versus when you were newlyweds? Like, can you kind of give me maybe something there?
Yeah, Michaela, what's the difference?
Yeah, tell us.
I wanted to talk it out. He wanted to go into the bedroom and just think about it for a little bit. No, and so that was, you know, like him turning away from you. Okay, that's something in my mind. To him, he just likes to sleep on that side of the bed. And I'm like, oh, you're really mad. You're like walking away. Well, he wants to think about it so he doesn't say something that's making me even more madder than I already am. Mm-hmm. And so I had to learn to give him his space. And also it helped me learn I don't have to speak everything that comes to my mind like that. Mm. And so that took us a while. I remember when we first got married, I was like, no, we're going to talk this out now. Like,
yeah, you know, that never worked out.
You know? No, because it made him madder. And then I was saying things that I shouldn't have said because I didn't think from his perspective on things.
Mm-hmm. As funny as that is, in our premarital counseling, our old youth pastor told Miranda, he said, Brenda, you have to understand, there's going to be times when Stephen has to go into a cave to process and to think about
what's... A mental cave, not a real cave.
Yeah.
What's going on. Yeah. Just to clarify.
Yeah.
But and that's what he was saying is, you have to understand, it's not that he's walking away from the situation, but he's processing it. Mm-hmm. And that's what guys do, is we process things a little bit different. We're... fewer words, that's scientifically proven. And so we choose our words. We try to choose our words. Sometimes we don't choose very wisely. But he was telling us that it's normal. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be... Then he turned to me and said, now, Stephen, you can't stay in your cave forever either. You have to come out and you have to talk about mm-hmm. it. And that was one thing that I think early in our relationship was really helpful. Because there were... I mean, with anybody, again, you start living with somebody... things are going to happen and there's going to be frustration. There's going to be like, why in the world? And you, but you can't leave it at that
mm-hmm.
because it's not fair to either one of you if you don't leave it. Like she mentioned, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That was literally one of our main Bible verses as newlyweds was, okay, we're frustrated. It's bedtime, but what's going on? We can't,
mm-hmm.
because
We may not always come to like a compromise or I hate to even use the word agreement, but there was no, sometimes it wasn't closure, but it was just, we're good. We're going to mm-hmm. deal with this another mm-hmm. time. I love you. Even in the midst of
making
all of this.
Making it apparent that this isn't.
I remember our first fight. We didn't stay mad very long at each other because I was like, fine, I'm just going to sleep out on the couch. And he's like, no, I'm going to sleep out on the couch. I'm like, we're seriously sitting here arguing over who's going to sleep on the couch.
Yep.
And I know you love me so much, you're not going to let me sleep on the couch. And we both just started laughing at each other because...
Yeah.
We couldn't hold a straight face.
No, we just started laughing at each other.
That is
like,
funny.
Why are we even fighting over what we were fighting about at the time? I don't even remember what it was.
Now I would love to sleep on our couch. Our bed is so hard. Like,
I like a hard bed.
Oh man, it's like concrete.
Back problems, you gotta have a hard bed.
But I think for us, especially for me, like when we first were, I grew up where like I just, there was a lot of confrontation when I was a kid, and so I shy away from confrontation. I can't stand confrontation. Mm. Like almost to the point where like if any confrontation happens, I shell up and leave. Like it's just how I am. And because of this, like, there was things that kind of bothered me, but I would never say anything, ever say anything.
Like broccoli.
Yes, and I was going to mention that. So there was it's not like a marriage divorce kind of thing, but it was broccoli. But
for a
I told
whole
her
year.
I liked broccoli. And when we first got married, she she was looking for work, and so she was at home and she made my lunches when I went to work. And so she would make me veggies and dip. And I love veggies and dip. And it just seemed like every single time I got veggie and dip, there's a lot of broccoli in there. And I couldn't understand why. I finally got the courage to talk to her, because there for like, how long was I just eating?
It was like 9 months.
9 months. I can't.
Nine months.
So then I came to her and I said, babe, I was like, I really appreciate you making me lunches, but I don't like broccoli. And she looked at me and was like, you love broccoli. And I was like, I love steamed broccoli. Oh. I can't stand raw broccoli.
Okay.
He didn't say that. He just said my favorite vegetable is broccoli.
I know that's very small, whatever. But it just, that's kind of how I took marriage at the beginning. Because I was like, there was things that, like, not necessarily that she did, but things that, like, in our relationship were something that I didn't see was right or was working or we needed to fix. But I would never dare say anything, not because I was afraid of her or anything like that. I was afraid of confrontation.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you thought that's how you were to keep peace.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was to put all of your stuff
down. But it did more damage than good.
Because it pushes everything down inside.
It took a long time to learn that.
Actually a really good analogy, because there are things that if it's not discussed, you will continue, and the animosity, if you will, the frustration builds.
And yeah, discussion in marriage is key.
You have to have conversation. You have to.
And in order to have discussion, like, I had to learn my way to communicate is so different than mm-hmm. his. Mm-hmm. And not just because man and woman, but just personalities are different. 100%. I mean, there's going to be people that are listening today and they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm the man and I'm actually more the talker, you know, than she mm-hmm. is, you know, that type of thing. In majority roles, usually the woman is going to be the one that uses the most words, but sometimes it's not. And mm-hmm. so I think if we can look at it that way, that this partnership that we have, yes, it's important to communicate. Yes, it's important to discuss. So how do I do that with you? How do mm-hmm. I communicate with you? I am under the assumption that if I haven't heard that we're in a negative space or a bad place, then we're good. And I could be doing things over and over and over that are detrimental to him, and I don't even realize it. And I think with maturity of our relationship and unfortunately with age comes wisdom in some areas. I'm still trying to gather mm-hmm. wisdom in other areas, but it does give you a lot of clarity and ability to be open when, you know, he comes to me and he says, I'm ready to talk about something. And usually I'm like, oh, well, all right, let's do it. This is exciting. What are we going to talk about today? And then sometimes it's about something I need to work on, and then it's not so fun. But it's always so respectful, and it's, you know, very kind. And the way he communicates with me, he's learned over time how I take everything to heart, and I just pull in, like, you know, everything's my fault. And if we're having issues or detriments or anything, it's always my fault. And so I feel like over the years I've been able to really see things balanced for what they are mm-hmm. Much more than before. And with his help, I'm able to say, okay, in this regard, this is actually not just me, but this is what your part of it.
Right.
And we can work together. Because he's, you know, he's saying, I shouldn't have said this. You know, you mm-hmm. have to tell me, you know, that type of thing. That's, I feel in my own opinion, that's kind of the hardest part of communication is the seasons that you live, you change personally how you communicate. Mm-hmm. And not maybe the foundational ways, because they're ingrained in you as a child. But, you know, he's kind of shifted somewhat in how he communicates. And so I can't help but wonder, have I shifted? Am I communicating differently? He's not the problem, you know, like, oh, maybe I'm changing too. And mm-hmm. so, you know, constantly having that, hey, can we talk, you know, type thing. And sometimes he's not ready. I mean, we just recently had a situation where I'm like, I think we need a conversation, and he would rather not, you know, and that's fair.
Kind of, you know? Because I said my piece and
he said what he had to say, and he was done. And I'm like,
I'm ready to move on.
I think we should talk about that. I think we should have conversation. And he's like, I think we're done. Yeah. You know, and I'm like, isn't there more to it, though? I mean, is that all there is? You know, I feel like there's some, you know, deep, in-depth root that caused mm-hmm. this problem. And it was very specific. It wasn't like necessarily like a blow up over nothing. It was mm-hmm. very specific in a very small category. And so I have to trust Mm-hmm. Okay. Because we've communicated for mm-hmm. years, and he's not going to say nothing is wrong and lie to me. Mm-hmm. Okay. We do that. We do that early on in the marriage. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is wrong. Everything is fine.
Worst words a husband can hear is there's nothing. There's no issue.
I was gonna say, I think that's more of a girl thing, and guys are like, no, I'm okay. Like, let's move on from this.
That could be.
And then mm-hmm. I would keep bringing stuff up. And I'm like, no, but it's still bothering me. You know?
Surely you're bothered.
You know? And so that's something I had to work on, is letting it go. Mm. And knowing if he's saying, I'm done, like, we're yeah. good. But if you keep talking about it, then that's going to frustrate me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
But then there yeah. are also the times where, again, being a couple, mm-hmm. we may be done with it. But if you're not, mm-hmm. that means that, well, we still need to resolve something.
Mm-hmm. I think you learn each other.
Yeah.
Over years, yeah. you learn each other so well and understand each other and where they're at. Michaela can read me like a book. Like, you know, when I walk into a room, she can tell me more about me than I probably know about myself. But it just comes from years of mm-hmm. growing and learning each other. But I think when we come to those points, like, you just have to be honest and say, yeah. this is just really how it is. And I think over the years you grow and realize that a healthy marriage, a marriage that doesn't have any open books, but everything is closed and sealed and ready to go and shipped to the next thing, nothing's left open, makes your marriage so much better. Like, there's so much more joy in your relationship, so right. much more peace in your relationship. Your household is more calm. And it's more enjoyable, honestly. But having something left open all the time, you always have something lingering. Mm. And yeah. and you know that. And you can tell by how they talk and how they act. And you just know each other. You know what I mean?
Well, I want to go back to something that you said that is huge and key to a relationship, is being honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to be honest.
Right.
And it's sad that so many relationships don't understand that. Well, I feel like if I'm honest with them, then I'm going to hurt them. Love sometimes does hurt, mm-hmm. but that's love also. The Bible talks about God doesn't necessarily keep us from harm, because he knows that it in his love, if everything worked out perfect, mm-hmm. and there was no struggle, then that wouldn't really drive us to love him more. Mm. And it's the same thing in
seek
a relationship.
After him, ask, you know, him to
if we're not honest with our spouse, and we always think everything's perfect, then there's nothing to drive us to strengthen that relationship.
Well, and that's what I said about prior. If that's your relationship and everything is hunky dory and you have a perfect life, and then something major happens,
it's gonna destroy it.
It's gonna you're gonna realize how weak that relationship right. is almost instantly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm.
So, like, nothing can expose a relationship or a person in their situation than a devastating situation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I remember, like, when we. I feel like our relationship was built from tragedy, because it seemed like every year we had something going on with the flood, and then we've had multiple miscarriages, and then there's like some other things that happened. And I'm glad that we were as close and open with each other as we were, and we were mm-hmm. strong enough to each other, but it exposed a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in those dark times, I mean, I learned more about our situation and how we are and our relationship in those situations, because it just shines a light on everything.
Right.
So 100%.
And it's amazing how that also leads you to, like, with each, I hate to say that each trial got worse, but it kind of feels like when you look back, uh-huh. the first 12 years of our marriage, I feel like, was just kind of leading us up till being able to function and be strong in his cancer journey, mm-hmm. which we call our cancer journey. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, having our second child all at the same time. And it's amazing. Because then I look and I think, you know, this last almost 12 years has been such a different set of 12 years mm-hmm. than the first 12. You're like, oh, you know, it's not like every year it gets worse. It's really God was preparing us mm-hmm. for this major thing that was going to happen in our life. And so that we could then become what he needed us to be today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 23 years in the 100%. Making. 100%. 12 mm-hmm. years in the making, whatever it takes.
I think it almost the not to that extent, but there was a situation where, like, I feel like everything that happened in our lives drew us so close to each other. And then I go up to the mountains for a leadership retreat, and I come down, and we have two children. And instantly.
Oh, I remember that.
And man, I look at it, and I'm like, okay, let's do this. Yeah. And I honestly, I feel like when we had all three children, we had a newborn, a two-year-old, and a four-year-old.
Yes.
I think those are some of the most strongest times in our relationship. Like, we were ready for it, and it didn't affect us negatively to the point to where it just tore us apart and stuff like that. But that was a major life change.
Oh, yeah.
Instantly.
Oh, literally. I mean, overnight.
Overnight. Yeah. Like, I came down from the mountain, like, right?
Yeah. Rah, 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 cheering you on. Unbelievable. Like, seeing the miracle unfold.
Yeah, but I think that's just growth, and really, it's a testament to putting time and effort into your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got it. Like anything, you got to maintain it. You got to put effort in it. Not quick to wrath and anger.
Mm-hmm.
There have been times where we say stuff, and we're trying to swallow our tongue before we say it, but it just comes out.
Yeah.
Especially when you're stressed. When I'm stressed, I'm very short, and I snap. And I don't just snap. I'm like snappy.
Mm.
And so my girls get it, my husband gets it, and then I like hold it in for everyone else as best I can, and then now it's at the point where as it's coming out, I hear it now.
Right.
You know, so I know that that's a growth, but it's not stopping me yet. So it's like, no, we still got lots to work on, you know, but I do recognize a look from him, and it's not a bad look. It's a look of just like, you know, careful, babe.
Yeah.
You know, be careful. Like, you know, with our girls, be careful.
Yeah.
You know, with him, he's like, are you okay? You know, everything going all right?
Yeah.
You know, so
100%. And I think that's, like I said, with the testament of that, when you grow and you put a lot of effort into your relationship, you learn each other and the mannerisms and how they look and how they're feeling. You just know. And there was points where, like, you know, I'd be upset with something or something like that. Michaela would just know that I'm upset. Like, there's tells, but, like, even if you hold it back, they can still tell that something's wrong, and there's limits and stuff like that. And for me, you know, I, like, it's usually just a lack of sleep. Honestly, I do too many long nights doing stuff for some kind of job or work or whatever. And then, you know, I go a week with very little sleep, and then I'm tired and more cranky and more angry, and then something will happen and I'll snap. But then you got to have humility. You got to realize that this relationship, it's only as strong as you make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you're not feeding into that strength and you're not trying to fix mistakes and fix things that might be a minor fracture, but you leave it unattended and you never attend it, you never throw any apology towards it, you never associate like any guilt or not guilt, but own up to it at all, that little fracture, it can crack and it can get bigger if it's left unattended. It's like Arizona cracks in windshields. Like, overnight, that thing can, you won't have a windshield. But I had to learn that and just come with humility. And I'm one of those people, like, I say it and I instantly regret it. So I'm like constantly saying sorry right after. But that's not necessarily as genuine as really thinking about the devastation of what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Going in prayer and speaking to God about it and just taking it to God. And then I finally come to Michaela and just give her my whole, I feel like, and you can talk, I feel like that says so much more. It's a genuine sorry.
Right.
You know, you can say stuff all day long and then oh, no, sorry, sorry. Little guy does that all the time. Makes mistakes and then you realize he's not getting candy and then he's going to say sorry instantly. He's not sorry.
Right.
He's just sorry in the moment because he realized candy. He did something wrong.
Yeah, I get caught.
But being genuine and humble and swallowing a little bit of pride. PRIDE.
Out of the side of his morals.
Yeah, pride. Yeah.
I think just realizing if we look at our spouses like God looks at them, that stops a lot before it even comes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to love them like Christ loves them. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, we learned that in VBS.
It gives you some more patience. Yeah.
We're reminded the last couple school. Days.
Thank Have you patience, you know.
Yeah.
How would you like to be forgiven? Are you know, we're so quick to anger sometimes that
we
don't look at the other's perspective on things.
Yeah.
And, you know, but then when it comes to us, like, why are you mad at me? I didn't mean it like that, you know?
Yeah.
But when it's them, it's easier just to point the finger. So.
Yeah.
And such good stuff.
We love pointing fingers.
We love.
It's just part of us, human nature, you know?
It's never my fault.
It's never.
It's Eve's fault.
It's always
right?
you.
It's
Our kids taught us when you point your finger, there's three pointing back at you.
Yeah. Yep.
And you're like, so I've we point that. Like this now.
Yeah, Madison was like six, and she was like, it was Savannah! It was Savannah!
That's funny.
With an open hand. I'm like, don't slap her. Oh, I wasn't. I was just pointing.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah.
Well, part of our survey, some of the responses at the end, we just asked, and then we had so many responses,
yes,
and
it was
wonderful.
Good.
But we did ask, like, share an important lesson you have learned in your marriage or your relationship. And I thought it would be cool if you guys are okay with it. I would just share a few things that other people have said,
sure.
just mm-hmm. to wrap us up.
Yeah.
Would that be cool?
100%. Sure.
Okay, so first one, and I really like this one. Mikhail and I were just talking about it before we started. Arguments are never intended to have a winner. They are always a misunderstanding that just needs to be clarified. Both spouses should win in the end.
Right.
I thought that 100%. Was so good.
Yeah.
That was really good. Another one. I have control over my part in a relationship. I do not have control over my partners.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
There's a few things that I can think of off that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one. The unhealthy relationships that were modeled to me as a child do not define how I have modeled my relationships today. At best, they have shown me what not to do and what to be cautious of.
100%.
Yeah. And then this one also was another favorite of mine. Silent expectations, which mm-hmm. we talked about.
Yep.
Silent expectations are dangerous expectations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then takes us into another one. I think these two people may have been talking because the next one was, no one is a mind reader. Communicate. Don't get bitter over something that hasn't even been said.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of arguments right there.
I'm just holy macaroni.
It's one of those diamond in the rough statements. That just
right. And you're like, oh,
stitch in the heart.
See
yeah.
it. Mm-hmm. And then the last one, and I thought this was good for male and female. You know, whatever you're doing, lead it with grace. This is the person that you love and you trust. Don't be quick to judge their intentions negatively.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%.
I was just like, oh, that's really good too.
Yeah.
You know, but just, I mean, just a lot of ways, you know, and we just, literally tipped the
yeah.
top of the iceberg.
Might
right?
have to have a part two. Or
yeah,
something.
Port. Yeah, they won't ever.
They
come
won't do it. We'll,
no.
have to do
we'll have to ask someone else to come. We can talk about you guys while you're not here, right?
We'll be back.
Yay! Well, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah,
thank you
awesome.
Both so much.
Welcome. Thanks for having us.
Appreciate y'all. LCI podcast.
You can listen more on our Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and be sure to subscribe on our YouTube channel, Life Church Presents, for more future content.
Again, thank you, and we'll see you next time.